Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank the great God of heaven for another opportunity to share with you from his eternal word. I would like to thank those brothers that have participated thus far in this worship service by offering prayers, leading in singing, and facilitating this service on this afternoon, along with the one that read scripture reading for us on this afternoon. We also want to thank you, those that are on the call this afternoon, to be participatory with us in our worship service to the Lord. We're thankful for your presence by being on the call this afternoon. And so we want to continue in Peter's letter to the Christians. And our subject for this afternoon is, but are now, taken from verse 10, but are now the people of God. But are now the people of God. So if you're a Christian, you are the people of God. Peter wanted them to know that. And so the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, wants every Christian to realize not only who you are, but also whose you are in your life on this earth. Two of the designs of this letter, again, as we said repeatedly, are to strengthen the faith of the Christian and to give them confidence in this life. And as was stated in the prayer on this afternoon, if you're not a Christian, we want to share with you from Peter's letter, what Peter shared, what one must hear, also share with you what one must do to become a Christian, and then you will be now the people of God. And we'll say in the text where Peter shares with us those things. And so we'll pick up from verse number 2 as we pick up the lessons from last week. Peter has said to them, as newborn babes, and he was saying this as a metaphor, that as with a newborn baby, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And so we expounded on the fact that babies, newborn babies, have a craving for that mother's milk. And as a Christian, we ought to have this afternoon when 3:30 came, this morning when 9 a.m. came, there ought to have been a craving for hearing the word of God, knowing that the word of God is that spiritual nourishment that feeds the soul of the Christian. And Peter said, when you get that milk, that spiritual milk, Peter said, that you may grow thereby, or the way you develop, the way that you mature as a Christian is when you partake of the spiritual milk that God has offered through the Bible. And then Peter says in verse number 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter said, since you have tasted, you have experienced that the Lord is gracious. The Lord is one that offers grace or offer help. If you turn your Bibles where Peter picks up this thought from David in Psalms, the 34th division, Psalms, the 34th division, and verse number 3, we'll find a couple of things that David said that Peter spoke about in his letter to Christians, which shows the togetherness of the Holy Spirit as it led David in his writing and also in Peter himself. In Psalms 34 and verse 3, David said, oh, magnify the Lord, he said, with me. And let us exalt his name together. Or put his name at a high level. He said, let us do it together. And David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. David said, when I sought the Lord, because of my relationship, because of being God's people, God heard me and God delivered me. Notice Peter, David said, from all my fears. Those that are the people of God, you seek the Lord. The Lord hears you. Peter talks about that as we'll get to it as we move through his letter. He said, and David said, he delivered me from all my fears. And then in verse 8, what Peter was saying, he said, David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Every Christian should have an experience such as David, and a confidence in the Lord that matches that experience. You should have, as David said, when I went through something, I sought the Lord, and the Lord delivered me. And so every Christian, as we go back to Peter's letter, every Christian ought to have that experience in your life when you was up against a wall, mentally you were drained, physically you were drained, and you didn't know which way to turn, and you sought the Lord, and the Lord was the one that delivered you. And so David says from that, he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. He said, blessed is the man that trusted in him. And I'm saying, those that are people of God, we ought to have a trust in the Lord as David had. Why? Because we are the people of God. And notice he says in verse number 4, he talked about those that have rejected God. He says, to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So Peter says that when Christ came, he was rejected of men. However, even though men rejected him, he says that God selected him. And he is precious, or he is worthy. Christ is worthy of honor. Yes, he is. He's worthy of our honor. How do we honor him? He says that in verse number 5. He said, ye also, talking about the people of God, are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So Peter says that we are a lively stone. And he'll talk about who Christ is being a stone as we move in the text. But he says that we are a spiritual house. Look with me at 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, where Paul makes that point. He says, and 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, notice now, in the house of God. We are a spiritual house, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So we as Christians, we make up that spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, or we are a body of priests. All of us that are Christians are priests. Each one of us that are Christians are priests. He says to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Every Christian is to offer up spiritual sacrifice to God on each Lord's Day. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. We see, note that there are five acts of worship, but the word sacrifice means to offer. So in Acts 2:42 and verse 47, the Bible says on the first worship service that they offered to God, God in their worship, the Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, something we receive, and fellowship, that's something that we share, a sacrifice, and in breaking of bread, and that we receive a communion, and in prayer, which we offer. Then he says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. So I want to just remind us as Christians that when we assemble, we should come with a mindset that's steadfast in the wanting to hear the word of God. But not only that, it is our responsibility that in fellowship, the word fellowship here means one's contribution in our giving. And let me just say to all of us, do not allow the situation nor the circumstances to hinder you from doing that which God. My worship is not complete unless I completed the five acts of worship. If I listen to the word of God, or the doctrine of God, the teachings of God, that was in some cases, as in this case, was given by one of the apostles. Also, I am to give. If I earn or receive money, then I am to contribute that money, give to the Lord first of that which I have, not allowing the circumstances or situation to keep me. It was mentioned this morning, those that are members of Highland Heights that are on Saturday, you can come up. We talk about the breaking of bread. We give the communion for those that want to pick that up on Saturday for worship on Sunday, but also we allow the opportunity for those to give to the Lord. I have to participate in all acts of worship. And then he says, we pray, that is a sacrifice we're offering to the Lord. We're praying, offering up spiritual requests to God. And then praising God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15, the Hebrew writer even says how we are to praise God. We have in the scriptures in Hebrews 13 and verse number 15, the Bible says, by him, therefore, let us offer. Remember we said the word sacrifice means to offer, the act of offering, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And then you have that pronoun that for biblical purposes oftentimes gives direction and instruction. That is, watch this, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So when I assemble, even though I may be at home in my home, when we were singing, thank Brother Alex for leading us in songs this morning and this afternoon, but I should have been participatory. I should have been offering the sacrifice of praise to God through the fruit of our lips, and that's giving thanks to his name. We're singing. And so as Peter said, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God and is done by Jesus Christ. When we offer prayers, we offer it to God, but it's by Jesus Christ. When we do those things that the scripture says we pray, it's by Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. So it is by Christ, it is acceptable to God by or through Jesus Christ, we find in the scripture. So we are that spiritual house. The church of Christ is that spiritual house. There is none other. There is none other. Other than the church, the house of God, which is the church of the church of the living God. God only has one church, and that's the one that his son built. And so we have that, that we offer up those spiritual sacrifices. I mean, Peter says, looking at Christ in verse number 6, he said, wherefore, 1 Peter 2:6, also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Peter says here, he goes back and pulls the text from Isaiah's writing. It also, Paul mentions it in Romans 9:33, but he said, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, a chief cornerstone. This stone was elected or selected or chosen by God. This stone is precious. And I want to say that he says, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And confounded in the text here means to cause to become agitated. When I know that I am a lively, a living stone, and I am connected with the chief cornerstone, then Peter says, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, he says, the same is made the head of the corner. And so to the Christian, the chief cornerstone gives direction and foundation. Those of us that are Christians, we ought to have direction. Where does it come? From the Word of God. We ought to have a foundation. Where does it come? From the Word of God. We are unlike those that disallowed or rejected the stone. That same stone, that same Christ, has become the head of the corner. And then Peter says, and notice he talks again about those that rejected Christ in verse number 8. He said, was a stone of stumbling, or it caused them to be hurt. He said, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. An appointment here has to be the appointment of punishment if they don't obey the Lord. And again, thank the brothers and other brothers for praying. We pray for those that are not people of God. We pray for those that are not Christians. We pray for those that are disobedient, or refuse to allow the Word of God to persuade them. But I want to note that this is the difference of those that are true Christians, members of the Church of Christ, and those either part of a denominational body or nobody. Christians allow the Word of Christ to persuade them to obedience. Part of the letter, as we work through the letter, I should examine myself and allow the Word of God to persuade me, allow the Word of God to move me. Allow. Peter was writing this letter to Christians, trying to strengthen them in their faith in God, and also in a life of obedience, one that is built up on Christ. And then Peter talks about those that are Christians, and verse 9 and verse number 10, Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Why, Peter? That, notice the pronoun that, you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So Peter says, we are a chosen generation, or we are a chosen race. We are a chosen family. We are the race or the family of Christians. That's who we are. We are a royal priesthood. Why? Because we are related to the king. Notice in Revelations chapter 1 and verse number 6, I said earlier that each of us, all of us, you know, we're not, as denominationalism teaches, that men are priests. Well, the Bible teaches that we're all priests, whether you're male or female, if you're a Christian. Notice what the Bible says in Revelations 1, I'll start at verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. If you're on the call this afternoon, you must understand, hope to understand, that God loves you. Don't be disobedient. Don't disallow or reject what the teaching from the Word of God, that God loves you. And he, when you are obedient to God, he will then wash us or wash you from our sins in his own blood. Now watch verse 6. And has made us, notice, kings and priests unto God and his Father. So Jesus, because of what his expository sacrifice on that cross, shedding his blood and washing us from our sin, what did he do? He made us king and he made us priests. What does priests do? Priests have the opportunity to offer up sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. The priests know from the Old Testament, priests were able to pray to God. Well, we are all priests. We can pray to God. Our relationship is right with God. We can pray to God. And as David said in Psalm 34, he hears us and he can deliver us. Why? Because we are priests and we can offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. But not only that, Peter said we are a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, we are like what God said through Moses in Deuteronomy, Old Testament, and Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and the verse is number 6. Deuteronomy 7 and 6. Notice what Moses was saying to those people who were the people of God. He told them, as Peter said in his letter, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So we are a peculiar people. Back in Peter's letter, we are a peculiar people. We are, the word peculiar in the text means God's own possession. We belong to God. We are a chosen generation. We are royalty. Why? Because we are related to the king. We are that holy nation. We are that peculiar or special people that we are to show forth the praise of him that God called us out of darkness into his marvelous spiritual light. We walk in the light. We don't walk in darkness anymore. And that's why we are special people. You know, we don't behave to be saved. We behave because we are saved. I don't walk upright to try to earn heaven. I walk upright because I have obtained heaven, because I have obeyed the Lord. As Peter told them, I have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. I have already have reserved for me, Peter told him, verse number 4, 1 Peter 1:4, reserved in heaven for me, something that's incorruptible. And then as I move toward close, Peter said to them in verse 10, which in time past were not a people. We need to remember when we were in the world and how we did those things that were contrary to the will of God. We lived according to our fleshly desires. And Peter said at that time, you were not a people. You were just out there. And then he says, but are now the people of God. And so the question to ask, when did the now happen? When did I become the people of God? Peter says, which had not obtained mercy. When you are out there living outside of Christ, and you were as those Peter talked about in verse number 4, when you were rejecting, disallowing, Peter calls it, the coming of the living stone or the chief cornerstone. When you were out there doing that, you did not have mercy. Peter says, but now, Peter told them, have obtained mercy. So the question may be on the floor, when did I obtain mercy? When did I receive forgiveness from God? You obtained mercy when someone taught you the gospel of Christ. You obtained mercy when you believe, you're on your way to obtaining mercy, when you believe that message that Jesus Christ, as we just read, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. God loved you enough that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, that Jesus Christ died on that cross. And you believe that. And then you were no longer rejecting God. You turn to God. That's called repentance. You turn to God. And then you made the confession, Acts 8:37, of what you believe in your heart, that you believe that Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone, that Jesus Christ is that lively stone. He's the one that Peter said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. He was chosen by God. He is precious and should be honored. And that's the reason every Sunday we honor God by worshiping him for what he did in sending Jesus Christ. And so we obtained mercy when we were water baptized for the forgiveness of all our past sins. That's why Peter said, but now have obtained mercy. All of us that are Christians, members of the Church of Christ, have obtained mercy from God. And so what we should spend our days doing now, as Peter said in verse number 9, show forth the praise of God who has called you out of darkness into now you're walking in that marvelous light. And so I want to encourage us that we live a life that show forth the praises of God. That because God allowed me to live some 27 years, and then he allowed me to obtain mercy. Somebody taught me the gospel. Taught me the gospel. Willie B. Williams, Casimir God, Church of Christ, taught me the gospel. Taught me the gospel. I believed it. Repent of my sins. I made the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I was baptized that day. and I obtained mercy. And so if you're on the call this afternoon, and hopefully each of us will be, when I said to think back not only when you were in the world, but think back when you came to the Lord, and think back to the fire you had when you first obeyed the Lord. Hopefully, when you first obeyed the Lord, how you was on fire to want to go to worship service and to go to Bible class. Well, some of us may need to rekindle that fire again, because you obtained mercy. You obtained mercy that we can show forth the praise of Him. And so if you're on the phone call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, how does one obtain the mercy of God and become a Christian, a child of God? I just shared with you what I did. In verse number 18 of 1 Peter 3, Peter pens, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Notice, bring us to God, being put to death in his flesh, being quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So how does one become a Christian? One has to hear the gospel that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He was made alive again by the Spirit. And then in Romans 6, 3, and 4, as I close, Peter tells us the practice of how that is done in Romans chapter 6 and verse is number 3. He said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into death." So you have to be water baptized into his death. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are not, you're in that category where Peter said, you are not the people, you're not a people, but you can become the people of God if you are not disobedient, but obedient to the gospel call. Give it to the person that have you on the call today, and you need to culminate your obedience in being water baptized for the remission of sins, and the Lord will add you, according to Acts 2:47, will add you to the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. And so we extend that invitation to you, as we have an invitation song sung. Thank you very much for your patience this afternoon.